Hello, everybody. Pastor Adam here. We're going to get right into it. Father God, thank you for this day, and we are grateful for how you've just blessed us enormously. You forgive us. You show us grace and mercy, and we are so grateful for your justice and everything that goes on around our lives and in our day. We ask for your continued blessings today in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So today, I titled this Vine and Branches. And we're going to discuss once again how to live by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, which then in turn will produce good fruit so that we can enjoy our lives. There's nothing wrong with enjoying our lives, right? When we apply what you're going to hear today and begin this learning to live by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, those daily struggles, they kind of like just melt away like ice when you put it out on a hot day. And along with that melting away of those, you know, things, frustration goes away, worry goes away, doubt goes away, fear, they just melt away. Now, the Word of God tells us to do work, but not to get into works of the flesh. We've got to understand there is a lot of work we have to do, and we need to step up and do that part God has called us to do. But where we tend to get in a lot of trouble is when we go beyond that and try to do God's part. See, that's when our lives get, well, frankly, miserable. The works of the flesh is when we use our energy to do what only God is able to do. Many times, those works of the flesh are when we, well, try to change other people. See, God can get things done that we never think of, and he does it in the snap of a finger. Grace is kind of like the power of God coming to us free of charge, enabling us to do with ease what we could never do with any amount of struggle or effort. And the reality is we will not enjoy our life that God expects of his creation if we are frustrated. We're not going to enjoy our life if we're struggling with something or someone all the time. We're not supposed to be in a perpetual state of struggle. We are supposed to be in a perpetual state of resting in God. When we enter the rest of God, we can really begin to enjoy our life. Now, in the book of Ephesians, Paul writes in chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Now, frankly, way too many of us are doing a lot of works, but God is not involved in it. We have got to get focused on doing the work of the Word. And let me explain, because there's a difference. See, doing what God tells us to do will always be blessed by God. His grace will always be there for what his Word tells us to do. And there's a difference in that compared to or versus like deciding what you're going to do and then trying to get God to bless that. I hope you heard that. Let me say it again, but say it this way. We should always obey what God's word tells us to do because God will bless that. His grace will always be there. It will always be like well-oiled, like a machine that's well-oiled. It will go smoothly. It'll run smoothly. It'll move easily. There'll be like a flow. There will be no friction, in other words. Now, the opposite of that would be getting wrapped up in our plan and then expecting God to bless that. And then, furthermore, getting frustrated because it's not working out. And then we struggle with understanding, well, where is God in all that we're doing? Ever been there? Is it in a chord right now? Another area where frustration stems from is when we're trying to do something about something we can't do anything about. In other words, you and I can get very frustrated trying to make one of our relatives love God, or trying to get your friends to love God, or trying to get your community to love God. You can get very frustrated trying to make one of your children have a personality they're never going to have. For instance, if your child's personality conflicts with yours, we tend to try and shape them into something they can't be. So, I think a relevant question at this point is, do you want to be frustrated all your life? Because first off, you've got to get to the point where you don't want to be frustrated anymore. You got to get to the point where you will finally say, enough is enough, and I'm not going to put up with this anymore. Because, folks, if you're willing to put up with it, then the Satan and his minions will keep dishing it out. In other words, what we're talking about today is about you. And guess what? Nobody's going to fix this for you. The Bible tells us not to lose our mind. It says to renew our mind. Many of us just will not do what needs to be done to correct this. I'm talking about things like, you know, practical things like changing your eating habits or not watching certain TV shows or movies anymore, or that you need to get more sleep, or that you'll exercise to stay healthy, or that you'll stop hanging around with certain people that are speaking death into every situation. See, you must get to the point where you don't want to feel bad every single day of your life, and you need to do something about it. Just think about how much this affects you spiritually when you don't feel good. I'm talking about when you don't physically feel good or emotionally aren't doing well. What happens then is, you know what? You don't want to pray when that's going on. You don't want to help anybody. You don't want to serve or sacrifice for anybody else. It's way easier to be grouchy when you don't feel good. It's way easier to have a pity party. It's much easier to sleep in when you don't feel good. And, you know, instead of getting up and being part of an assembly once a week at what we call a church, so you can go serve people. Now, what I'm saying today is not very popular, but it is the truth. You know, I like this saying is, biblical Christianity isn't popular, but popular Christianity isn't biblical. You know, and I find I've watched this. This is the point where it's way easier to compromise when you get to this point. We kind of just wait until there isn't much choice left, and then we react when we reach rock bottom and scream, well, God, help me. But what I'm trying to do today is once again make a plea for us to make a quality decision now before we get to that rock bottom place and say, I'm not going to live like I'm living anymore, the way I'm living anymore. I'm not going to spend my life going around the same mountain over and over and over and over and over again. Kind of think it's at this point that we can finally begin to understand this concept of grace. See, we got to live by grace, which is, you know, God's unmerited favor, but grace is so much more than that because I believe grace is power. Grace is the power of the Holy Spirit. I mean, how is anyone saved? Scripture tells us by grace through faith, right? We need to, how are we saved again? By grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Not by anything we do at all. We can't, because if we did, if it was a different way, we'd boast. That's what the Bible tells us. That's what we read already in Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. This grace is a gift of God. Because if we didn't know, if we didn't accept that, we'd be boasting about, look at me. Look at how saved I am. Look what I did to be saved. Look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. As you have therefore received Christ, even Jesus the Lord, so walk or regulate your lives and conduct yourselves in union with and conformity to Jesus Christ. See, that same way we receive Jesus Christ is the same way we're supposed to live. So how do we live? Well, everything must be by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Every day and everything we do has to lean, has to depend on and believe in by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. I guess another way to say this is letting God know in our words and our deeds that we are fully aware that we're filthy rags without him. Folks, everything becomes easier when it is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. You know, when when the Holy Ghost is not in something, we're going to be miserable. When the Holy Spirit is not in something, we are going to be frustrated. So we've got to learn to let go and begin to enjoy our life. Now, recorded in the book of John, chapter 15, we have Jesus teaching us about abiding. Now, the word abiding, that phrase, to abide, means to live, to dwell, to remain. So abide is we are somewhere where we're kind of in a constant state when we're abiding. It's not an occasional visit, but a kind of fully immersed visit. We're totally involved. We're totally in. We're sold out. So we are told by Jesus in John 15, verse 5, to abide in him. He says, I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, I believe this means if we can ever really master this total abiding in life thing, that we could be, you know, so close to God, we would instinctively know what God's will was, and we would never be asking for those fleshly things. If we abide, right, if we abide in Jesus and his words abide in us, I mean, we know that is what we're supposed to do, but do we really do that? The challenge, folks, or I guess the daily prayer, fellowship, and study with God, reading the word, prayer, and fellowship with God thing, I mean, do we do that? I mean, I guess for most of us, we'll say, well, I do make it to the weekly gathering called church, but daily fellowship with God? Okay, yeah, I can turn the TV off when one of our friends has a disaster. I mean, are you smelling this? Are you smelling what I'm cooking here? Do you know what I'm talking about? Because Scripture tells us we are to put God first in our time. And come on now. Everyone has to raise their hand and go, yeah, I can do better in that. That's a struggle for me. Folks, obviously, the Satan is going to cause us to struggle with that because the Satan knows the power of us spending daily time with God, okay? Jesus tells us to abide in him and let his word abide in us. He says, dwell in me and I will dwell in you. Well, gosh, from afar, this sounds like a relationship. John chapter 15, verse 11, Jesus is speaking and he says, these things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. So, are you aware that everything Jesus has been saying up to this point, this abiding, this living, this dwelling, this remaining, is for the purpose that we have joy? Jesus wants you and I to enjoy the journey. He wants us to enjoy this life. I mean, gosh, maybe we could say to ourselves today, if I don't have joy, maybe I'm not spending enough time with God. Maybe I'm not hanging out on the vine enough, right? Because Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches, and if you hang on to me, you will bear much fruit. Aha. So, okay, then it leads to this question. Who are you hanging out with? Now, Jesus didn't say here you have to struggle to bear fruit. Because see, here's what I've witnessed, and I think many of you will agree. We try so hard to be good Christians that we get grouchy, cranky, rude, and nasty. I'm talking about that, you know, don't bother me. I can't you see I'm getting ready for church kind of attitude? Folks, we need to relax. We need to lighten up. We need to take a breath. Stop being legalistic about things. Stop being so rigid. Stop making a law out of everything that we hear. We've got to properly filter things. I mean, because we'll hear something in scriptures and immediately we'll make it a law. And, you know, we'll make this rule, a new rule, when we should be resting and trusting what God said and trust the Holy Spirit to bring everything to our remembrance when we need it. I think many people can't make regular time with God because they made a rule out of it. And then after a few weeks, they can't keep up with that new rule, and it becomes too boring and too legalistic that they quit. You make a lot of it, and now it has no life. For instance, how about this one? This, hey, you got to read 6 chapters a day of the Bible so you can get through the Bible reading it in a year thing. Because, I mean, don't you know you're supposed to get through the Bible every year? So you got to read that 6 chapters every day. Let me just share something with you. I'll just use myself. Are you aware there are days that I don't read the Bible? You know, Pastor Adam doesn't read the Bible every day. Oh my gosh, what did he just say? I've never in all my life, a preacher, a pastor says that he doesn't read the Bible every day. Folks, I didn't say that I don't read the word. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, if any of you that are weary, overburdened, tired, frustrated, and burned out, come to me. Because why come to him? Because Jesus said he's the vine and we're the branches. See, we're a branch. You're a branch. I'm a branch. Every person is looked at as a branch. Now, Jesus is the vine. Let's look at this scripture in Romans chapter 11, verse 17, to continue on this theme. But if some of the branches were broken off while you, a wild olive shoot, were grafted in among them to share the richness of the root and sap of the olive tree. This scripture here Paul was talking about is referring to the Jews and the Gentiles. The Jews, some of the Jews, the branches were broken off, while God, by his grace, grafted in the Gentiles, the wild olive shoot. So why does God graft us in? Because, I mean, we're living a sinful life. But we have an invitation to receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, and we're initially grafted into the vine. Jesus is the vine. Now, I mean, no matter where you are, no matter what you've done, we are picked up and literally placed in the vine and grafted into the vine. We're grafted in for a reason, and it's to receive something. Now, what is it we're to receive? To share in the nutrients and the richness of the olive tree vine. Let me say this. We were not grafted in to get something. We were grafted in to receive something. Big difference. What am I getting at here? What I know about myself, I'll just use myself again, because then I don't have to speculate. I have no problem talking about me and my past, what I've done, is when I started this Christian journey in the late 30s, I'm 61 currently, I immediately wanted to do all these things and give all this stuff so I could earn what God wants to freely give me. And I'm, again, going to talk about myself, not sure about all of you, but when I truly came to Jesus Christ in my late 30s, I was a very sick man. Now, I don't know you all, but I'm pretty confident most of you can relate to that. What am I talking about? Again, using myself, I was drinking alcohol way more than I should have been, which made me hungover way more, all right, a lot of times. I was also, you know, looking at pornography regularly. I was lying, cheating, stealing. Oh, yeah. And I was hating way too much. And I was an angry, sick guy. I don't have no problem saying it. God knows. And so what I'm getting at is what I needed was just time to just cling to the vine. See, before any of us starts to run our race, We got to best learn how to stay seated in Christ. What I've witnessed is too many people receive salvation in Jesus Christ, right? They're sick. They come to receive. And the next few weeks, they want to be helping everybody else on their walk with Jesus Christ. Like they suddenly have all this wisdom and experience, understanding of what's going on. Let me tell you, gosh, I wish we could mute people and just tie their arms and legs. What really happened for these people, and it's so many of us, is you've had a personal revelation of what Jesus has done for you called your testimony. Now, I want to encourage you to share that. But please, oh, please, don't pretend or attempt to be a teacher or a preacher or a pastor of the Word of God at that point yet, please. Because people, after we receive salvation, we need to hang on to the vine and receive the richness from the root and the sap from the vine to pour into our wounded soul. We've just got to learn how to receive because, frankly, we don't do that very well. Many of us confuse getting and receiving. Christians spend a lot of their life trying to get, which means trying to obtain by struggle and effort. But Jesus' word tells us we are to receive. That means simply taking in what is being offered. Now, I hope you can acknowledge that. I hope you heard that. For instance, are you trying to get God to bless you? Even if you don't read the Bible 6 chapters a day, fulfilled your daily law, right? Then you, because here's what I find people doing that. They tend to get proud. And then, because they fulfilled their daily law of reading the 6 chapters of the Bible or whatever else these things you've set up, then you expect God to bless you because you've fulfilled your part of the bargain. Am I speaking truth? Come on. And even if the grace-filled God blesses you, you process that as you deserved it because you read your 6 chapters in the Bible today or whatever it is. Oh, I served faithfully at church today. These are things we're supposed to do regardless with no recompense, with no like tit for tat. And you know, if you live that way, what else comes with that? A judgmental attitude I've found toward all the people that, you know, read only a little bit of the Bible. They don't read like you do the Bible. Right? Or they don't serve like you, you know, but the moment these people do something like that and they're tickled pink about it, many of you will come in like a bull in a china store and with a critical spirit because you'll mention, well, you should be doing this all the time. This is where we got to check our 6. We got to check ourselves. Look in the mirror, man. We'll say things like behind their back, usually not to their face, saying, ooh, what type of Christian are they? And they're here all the time, but they never serve. You hear that? They only read 1 chapter a day, or they didn't even read the chapter in the Bible in the last month. I mean, are you hearing what I'm saying? Is this making sense? Don't get mad at me now. Folks, there's no doubt that we need to make plans, but I'm trying to get us to make sure you're relying on God every step of the way. I mean, for instance, too many of us look at this kind of in this way. It's like, hey, Jesus, give me the football and I'm going to go score a touchdown. You know what reality is? I see this, oh my gosh, so many times. Reality is you're going to take the football and you're going to get pummeled by numerous huge linebackers that representing demons. And then what happens after you get pummeled, you fumble the ball, you get knocked down, you can't make any progress, is like you say, I can't take this anymore, I'm miserable, and the Satan is doing this to me and the Satan is doing that to me, and you just start giving the Satan all the credit. And if that's how you feel, then Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, come to me. Come on to me. Spend time hanging out and receive some of the sap. Let Jesus just pour into you. Just receive. You want to effectively disciple? Tell people how to hang out with God and show them how to hang out with God? Receiving this is how that's what real worship is about. Abiding, dwelling, recharging yourself. Grafting yourself in like a limp, dying branch. Because that's really what happens in the natural. That's what this analogy is so powerful. That's how they do it in the natural to save almost dead trees or dead limbs or dead branches. They cut the living vine and then they graft into the almost dead part to it to bring it to life. And they put a support system around it, right? They'll clamp it. They'll put these ropes around it, tie it real tight. That's the same thing that many of us need, a support system like that when we first come to understand God. We need someone to disciple us, someone to teach us, to mentor us, to hold us accountable, to pray for us. We need many things as we begin this process that down the road we will not need. But initially, we need this. But the only thing this sick, lifeless branch needs to do is submit and hang out in the area of life until it gets healthy enough to go on its own. But so many of us think we can do it immediately. And you know what happens? Then you leave because you're hurt or you're embarrassed or you're too proud or you won't admit you made a mistake, etc. I could go on and on with example after example. I mean, the sick branch doesn't come into this situation saying, well, what can I do? Right? They'll be like, I want to bear fruit, run away. Wrong. Wrong answer. The only fruit coming off a sick branch is unhealthy fruit. All the sick branch has to do is abide and soak up the rich sap from the vine. The sick branch has to learn about the love of God, learn about the mercy of God, learn about the forgiveness of God, learn about the grace of God, learn about the goodness of God. And then, if you do that faithfully, repeatedly, before you know it, the almost dead branch is getting stronger and its roots are gaining a strong foothold in the spiritual truth that they're finding out about the Word of God. And then, bingo, fruit, good fruit, starts popping up all over the branches. See, this dead branch received the richness of the sap, and it didn't get the richness of the sap by anything it did. That's exactly why the Bible doesn't tell us, Scripture doesn't say, did you get saved? Did you get forgiven? Did you get mercy? Did you get your breakthrough? Did you get the Holy Ghost? Humans say that, but that's not what the Bible says. You're not going to read that anywhere in the Bible. If you did, it's a mistranslation, because what you have is to receive. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Acts 19, verse 2, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Or Acts 26, 18, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins. Romans chapter 1, verse 5, through whom we have received grace and apostleship. I sure hope the point was made. And in the beginning, let Jesus do practically everything for you. But the time will come when you'll be ready for a transition. Now, each one of us has specific issues that this will pertain to. We all are initially baby Christians. And babies can't do anything on their own, right? They can't make their own food. They can't clean themselves. They can't dress themselves, right? Okay? But as the child grows up, we are hopefully teaching them to start doing things for themselves, right? Making food, cleaning up after themselves, right? Dressing themselves, taking care of the things we give them to steward them properly, right? As they're growing up. With more responsibility comes more accountability. Well, where do you think that model comes from? It comes from God. That's the exact same way our relationship is with Him. So, as I have progressed, God's Word instructs me that I don't need those baby type of help things anymore. I've matured through that. I have the Holy Spirit living in me, abiding in me, and I've learned to understand that. And He is my helper. And see, because I'm understanding that, because I'm maturing, I don't need the baby type of help anymore. I know that to be free from anything, I must be willing to die to self. I must do my part, which is what? To believe by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. As a baby Christian, many times we struggle through and do it all ourselves, right? And you want to know why we do that? So in the end, we can get the credit. But we're frustrated and tired. Oh, Lord, I hope you're hearing this. The more you grow spiritually, the more you understand how you need to lean on God. I know people will say, your grace is available for me. I am putting my faith in you, and every step of the way, I trust you, God. I want to encourage you that you can be happy where you are. I want to encourage you to not wait until you hit rock bottom. I want you to come to Jesus now. Don't wait until your branch is so lifeless and there's barely a spark of life left in there that you come to him. When you start to feel yourself wilting, run to him. Run to the Lord and sit and receive his strength. Just pray, I love you, God. Thank you that you love me. Forgive my sins. I made such a mess out of things today, right? God, folks, because here's the deal. God does not hold a grudge. And you also need to forgive yourself. Because then you'll be able to receive. Just receive what God gave you before you were born. And then, just as you received him, go live your life today and forever. Look at what James chapter 1, verses 2 through 5 tells us. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Amen. See, all this is saying is we could have made the biggest mess out of our lives, but if we're sincerely sorry, just tell God. And because of God's forgiveness, because of God's mercy, even though we don't deserve it, and by all rights, God shouldn't help us, but just because we admit it and ask him, he will help us get out of that mess. He's not going to remind you of how bad you were. He's not going to resent it. He's a forgiving and forgetting God, right? He's a giving God. You will remember it. Your friends will likely remember it. Your people you know will remember it. But many of us, when you make a mess out of things, we don't even go to God and ask for help. I mean, we'll say things like, God can help me. How can God help me after what I've done? Well, let me remind you, you certainly aren't reading your Bible faithfully, because my Bible tells me in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, for you do not have a high priest who is unable to understand and sympathize and have a shared feeling with our weaknesses and infirmities and liability to the assaults of temptation, but one who has been tempted in every respect as we are, yet without sinning. Beloved, you can always go to God because he understands what it's like to be trapped in a fleshly body. I know, and many of you know that. You've been there, done that, right? Well, then this verse in chapter 4 of Hebrews, verse 16 says, therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Folks, as I end this, listen. No matter how many mistakes you have made, you better get yourself to Jesus Christ now. God bless you. Until next time.